Murder mysteries are what you might call a comfortable theatrical genre, with stock characters and situations. A victim is found, an investigation begins, and characters, one by one, are found to have seething resentments of the dear departed. Suddenly, everyone has a motive, but who done it? So far, so good, right? We know where this is going, but what if the characters rebelled, started talking back to the playwright, and a familiar plot spun out of control? That's the premise of Bloody Murder, now running at Manoa Valley Theater, and its director, Elite Tatufu, is here to help us sort it all out. Good morning, Tay. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm great.
This is about a familiar thing in theater, conventions, what we, you know, formula, plot devices that the audience is very familiar with and that, you know, everyone has come to expect, right?
Yeah, that's right. When you go to a show at a theater, sometimes you'll take a look at what the show is labeled as, a feel-good musical or a murder mystery, and you kind of
buddy
know.
Buddy comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of know going in what to expect, what the characters, what kind of archetypes they're going to fall into and where the storyline is going to go. And it's just the journey that's going to be interesting about that particular show. What's great about Bloody Murder is that the playwright from the very beginning knows that the audience is expecting certain things, so that he'll put it in, and then throughout the show he'll start deconstructing things, flipping them on their heads, and taking ideas or concepts that you know. You'll be sitting in the audience and you'll think to yourself, oh, I know exactly where this is going, I know who these characters are, and suddenly they'll go in different directions, or like you said, the main character decides she doesn't want to be in a murder mystery anymore. She wants to just enjoy her estate for one weekend without anybody getting murdered. Let's go play tennis. Let's go do something else instead of kill each other.
Despite the inconvenience of a body having already been found on the grounds of the estate. Right?
Exactly. Let's just get some of my servants to take it out in the forest, and let's not even think about it. Let's go play tennis.
Why does that have to ruin our weekend?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, that's a whole other way of thinking about it. But the way you describe this plot makes it sound as if, you know, from the audience point of view, it's almost as if you were the author inside the author's head, creating a character and then saying, oh, come on, this is such a cliche, and then kind of balling up the piece of paper and throwing it away and starting over.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And it has, I mean, down to the sound effects where a character will have a line and suddenly thunder and lightning will come in, or just by looking in the audience, I've placed little Easter eggs or little treats for you to watch that you could imagine, oh, if I was the author, then I'm looking at it through his eyes. A character will go off and they'll come back on and their tie will have changed color, or a flower that he's wearing on his lapel will change color. And those are just little treats that the audience can look for to see, okay, the author obviously doesn't like the way this character looks, so he's changing their costume just a little bit.
So it's deliberately sort of messing with your mind, right?
Oh, yeah, from the very beginning. There are things around the set. I mean, I use the playwright in my mind is a big fan of things like Downton Abbey, so he'll put little references to that, or he's seen the movie Clue and he used to love the board game, so each of the characters at some point gets the Clue weapon that they're holding, from the candlestick to the wrench to the rope to the knife. So the audience, you get to point out to you, whoever you're with, or just to point out for yourself, look at all the things. What can I see in the background that the characters don't even mention, but it's just fun little treats that you can go and have a good time looking for.
And here comes the local police inspector, who I assume has some sort of thick accent, right?
Oh, that's right. He's got a big, deep, heavy Cockney accent. He's a chief inspector. He's coming to just check up on the lady because she decides not to call the police. She doesn't want to get the police involved. She wants to have a good weekend without a murder. So he just happens to come in anyway and start looking around before she shoos him back out. And, yeah, tries to solve the crime.
Well, one of the conventions is the sort of plodding cop and a bunch of suspects who all think they're more clever than the cop is, right?
That's right, yeah.
So do you have a certain amount of attempting to outwit the bumbling inspector in all this?
Oh, yes, and what's funny is that the inspector, who's usually not really seen in Act 1 when the murders happen, but he comes in and kind of solves everything in Act 2, talks about how he did it, how he came to his conclusions, and is the big driving force in Act 2. In this time, Act 2, he does come out right on cue when he's supposed to, start solving the mystery, and then boom, he's out of the picture. And then the characters are left by themselves without the policemen trying to resolve the story themselves.
So they're a little bit at loose ends at that point, right? We've just lost the driver to our to unraveling the plot, yeah?
That's right. And what's funny is there are two plots going on at the same time. There's the murder mystery plot where the policeman would come in, solve the crime. And then there's the plot about these characters not wanting to be in the in this little play anymore, and they don't want to be in this playwright's mind because to them he's such a bad writer and he uses all these cliches instead of coming up with anything original. So it's their fight against him that drives Act Two, which is why we kind of break away and get off the road of the standard formula.
It really sounds as if the author of this gave free rein to the voice inside his own head that every writer has, which is, this is terrible. Oh, come on. You know, just forget the whole thing. This is just not working, right?
Yeah. The conventions and just the tropes that he hits on, that he says, I know these are murder mystery stock things that every one of them has. So let's see if we can name all of them, put them all on the table, see how much we can play with and just take it in a new direction that the audience isn't expecting. And that's what's such a treat, is that you have no idea what's going to happen next because you think you know.
Well, I love the fact that you even have an actual fourth wall in this thing because, you know, these are all the things that we're supposed to not acknowledge, both audience and performers alike.
Yes.
Right? You never break the fourth wall. You never say, look out and say, there are people standing 15 feet away from me staring at me.
Yeah.
You're supposed to not know that, you know, and the audience expects that as well.
Yeah, that's right. The set was built in such a way and designed so that it has a proscenium or like a picture frame around it. So you kind of come in and you see that frame. It separates you. That's the fourth wall. And you kind of feel like you're watching a zoo exhibit or something where you don't get to go into their world. They don't really get to go into your world.
Don't feed them. Yeah.
Yeah, don't feed the animals. Don't feed the actors. And then at some point, the characters do break it down and say, let's look at this world that's out here and see, you know, what's happening out here. And it's just, it's an amazing, fun ride to be in.
Well, I would think that just having that whole disconcerting element would sort of jog you into, you know, just alertness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, from the minute when they start deconstructing that fourth wall, you really feel like the pace is just really amped up. The energy is high. You're sitting on the edge of your seat, and the actors and the characters are just like deconstructing their world, basically. And it's just so much fun to watch.
Well, Tay, it sounds like a terrific show. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Elite Tatufu Jr. is the director of Bloody Murder, which runs until May 19th at Manoa Valley Theater. And details are on our HPR website.